Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show focused on all things Atlanta and sometimes elsewhere.
All right, it's Sunday, June 15th, 2008, Father's Day, and this is our second ever live edition of Mostly ITP. I've got Amber with me here, and we really only have a couple of things we want to discuss. First of all, we want to play and respond to some listener voicemail. And then second, we have been watching the CBS television series Swingtown, and we have some thoughts on it.
And if you call in and you're one of the first two callers, you get a $20 gift card to Insurrection, and you don't even have to go into the store because it's good on the website. And I would recommend that you not go into the store.
I would definitely recommend using it on the website. We had those left over from Sex 2.0, and now we have them. We can give them away to you.
It could be yours.
All of this could be yours. So the first voicemail we have is actually... We've been kind of behind on playing voicemail because we had an interview episode and a video episode, and neither one of those things are really good for playing and responding to voicemail in them. So now we're finally going to try to get caught up. And so here is the first voicemail from Nobilis.
Hey, Amber. Hey, Rusty. This is Nobilis calling. I just listened to the post-Balticon Mostly ITP. I will definitely pass on your comments to Paul if he hasn't already read the hasn't already listened to this episode. I may just point him at it because I think there's a lot in there, and I'd rather not play telephone with it. On the comments on the book Magical Clothes, thank you so much for mentioning it. And Amber, I am definitely interested in what you have to say about it afterwards, because I know that I will get the straight answer from you. And it's always a big risk when a male author writes erotica with a female protagonist. The danger of lack of authenticity is high. I kind of pride myself that I write good female characters, but I could be just deluding myself. So if you don't want to include your review in the show, in your show, because it'd kind of be redundant with Amber, with Rusty's comments, feel free to call my line and leave a comment there, or email me, or whatever you're comfortable with. As far as voice comments are concerned, any podcaster would love to have an MP3 file. Anyway, thanks again. Thanks for coming to Balticon. I'm glad you had a good time in general, even if the Don't Be That Guy panel was rough. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye.
I did end up calling his voicemail line, and he does write good female characters, at least in that book. And I called because, I mean, I wanted to give him feedback anyway, but I feel like I should be better about calling voicemail lines because podcasters like it. I mean, we like it. But I also have to be honest, I don't really listen to any podcasts. I mean, I would say I don't listen to very many, and that's true, but I mean, I really don't listen to any that aren't like ours or our friends, like politics podcasts or drama club or anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess it's weird that I'm a podcaster and I don't listen to them, but that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah. I actually do listen to a lot of podcasts. And by the way, I just wanted to give a shout out to Darren, who's in the chat room right now, who just joined us. So hi, Darren. He randomly found us on Twitter.
He made me put my glasses back on because I can't read it.
Because
he
can't read the screen. Yeah. So I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and I actually really need to get better about leaving voicemails because I really enjoy a lot of the podcasts I listen to. Nobilis did a PSA a little while ago and was talking about how leaving voicemails, you should pick one day a month and leave them. It's sort of like paying your podcast bill for the month, because we do thrive on feedback. So, all right. So we have many more voicemails to play here. Jen and Tony have been randomly, sometimes drunk dialing, sometimes sober dialing our voicemail.
Which is great, and yeah, we encourage it. And Jen has it in her phone under, don't drunk dial the podcast.
Which, naturally, whenever she's drunk, she decides
drunk dial the podcast. And you should, too.
I agree. Okay, so here's a question. These are actually kind of in reverse chronological order. Jen had a question that she left on our voicemail.
Yeah, I just have a question about that article you posted about the $49 tickets from Atlanta to Athens. It's an hour drive. Why would you spend an hour going through Hartsfield security to get on a flight when you can just drive there in an hour?
Well, I know why. Because maybe you don't have a car, and we don't have this mythical train that goes from Athens to Atlanta yet. Like if you're in college, for example, and you're going to school at UGA, and you are from out of state or something, and you don't have a car. You can take a shuttle, but I don't know. I don't know which is, like, more or less annoying. And also, like, for some people, it's just a pain in the ass. I guess it's a convenience thing. Like, I know Augusta is further away, but so it's like a 2 or 2.5 hour drive from Augusta to the Atlanta airport. But, like, when I was in Augusta and I would fly places, I would always fly to Atlanta and then get a connecting flight. And so for getting connecting flights, I think it makes sense. Like, even though the flight from Augusta to Atlanta was, like, 20 minutes, I mean, I wasn't going to drive there. And, like, my mom wasn't going to drive there because she's terrified of Atlanta traffic. And so, I mean, I think it seems kind of weird, but for some people, I think it makes sense.
We also have another logistics and transportation question, very exciting, from Tony.
Yeah, I have a question. When the city of Atlanta, when they're closing down 14th Street and they redirect traffic as an alternate to Northside, and then they fucking close a lane on Northside, my question is, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
That's
indeed.
My favorite one.
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really understand a lot of what Atlanta does. They shut down the 14th Street Bridge so nobody can cross it. It's going to be shut for, I don't know, 2 years? Quite a while. Anyway. All right, so our next voicemail is... We do a lot of slice of life stuff here on Mostly ITP. You might have maybe seen our video podcast from a little while back where we went around and... So we just like to do these little slice of life things. Apparently, Jen was at a Jimmy Buffett concert and had another little slice of life thing to offer here.
To the girl at the Jimmy Buffett concert who had too many boat drinks, having a piss between two SUVs and having everybody watch the urine drip down your leg is really disgusting.
See, I don't know what she's... Having a
piss?
Between two what?
It sounded like she said STDs.
But that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so now we do have a caller on the line in Georgia, and let's go ahead and put this person through. Caller, you are on the
Hello?
Air. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hey there, who's this?
This is Jen.
Jen, okay, good. I could barely hear you.
What were you saying
What's
on that
up?
Call?
What were you saying on that call?
I wasn't saying anything.
No, when you on your voicemail where you... You were talking about the drunk girl at the concert, and you said having a piss between two something, and we thought it sounded like STDs, but that didn't make sense.
I wish I could tell you what I had said, except that I was also intoxicated, so let me think. I don't know. It was just gross.
Well, we played the voicemail right before you called, so I guess later you can listen.
You might get
and
to hear it
us.
Again. Maybe you can tell us after the fact what you were actually saying.
Will do. Will do.
But congratulations, because you have won a $20 insurrection
caller, so.
Gift card, which I know you want.
Well, great.
I
was thinking
exciting.
I was 10 minutes late. Well, no, I'm excited, and I'll call in later and tell you what I will have done with my $20 gift card.
Yes, please do.
Please do. Also, so it's Father's Day. What's up this weekend? What did you end up doing?
Let's see. My boyfriend and I went to Augusta yesterday, and I ended up getting my father a subscription to the Augusta Chronicle for Father's Day, which, for those of you who have read the Augusta Chronicle, right, you don't know why you would ever want a gift like that, but my dad loves reading the paper, and my mom stopped subscribing to it several months ago, So I got him a 6-month subscription Monday through Sunday and picked him up yesterday's copy and gave it to him, and of course he immediately starts reading it. So that, you know, ended up being a good gift for him, even though I personally would never want a subscription to that terrible paper.
Yeah. That's kind of something I would give to somebody because I hated them.
Well, and the other hard thing was finding a card, because all Father's Day cards are about golf or, you know, fixing something in the garage or fishing, and, you know, none of those really apply to my dad. You know, it's like, hey, Dad, thanks for teaching me, you know, how to swing or something.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks. You know, so I ended up getting him some, you know, silly card, but I was lamenting actually earlier about, you know, most of these holidays are just ridiculous just to get people to buy cards.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
It's the card industry.
Total crap
big
holiday.
Card.
Yeah, big card, sort of like big tobacco or, yeah.
Big cards, right. And maybe if they made better cards, I would, you know, I'd buy them.
But instead you just send some e-cards.
Yeah.
Well, right, I would have liked to have sent a some e-card, but they were a little too...
They were not
a little risque
dad
for
friendly.
Dad.
Yeah. Right, they were not appropriate.
Awesome. Yeah, big Hallmark, says guest one.
Do you have anything else to say, or are you done?
I guess that I'm done.
Why don't you stick around for just a little bit, because I want to play Tony's response to your pissing story and see if you can actually hear it through the phone, because...
And maybe,
you know,
translate.
Yeah, and maybe translate what was going on. So here goes Tony's response.
I have a correction to make to the previous call. It wasn't a trickling down her leg. It was a full stream of pee, and I'm scarred for life.
And what was it like?
He was scarred for life.
Oh, he was scarred for life.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, Skype isn't the clearest thing in the world sometimes.
Well, he sounded pretty drunk, too.
Yeah.
He actually was fairly sober, so next time he calls, I'll tell him to enunciate his words.
Yeah. Tony sounds kind of drunk all the time.
Aw, don't say
that. I don't mean that in a mean way.
You don't mean it in a mean way.
I have plenty of friends who sound drunk all the time, like Ryan. Ryan sounds drunk even when he's dead sober at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, but you're not telling his wife that.
Of course, it's questionable if he's so dead sober at 8 in the morning, but...
Anyway.
Yeah. Do you have any, you didn't happen to watch the CBS show Swingtown, did you?
No, I saw the previews, and I'm not a huge fan of shows that are, like, period. I don't want to say a period piece, because it's not really old, but, you know, shows that are, like, everyone
implies something a little...
I know. Yeah. I don't like shows that are set in different, I don't know, times.
Well, this one was really laying it on thick, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, hey, they're drinking tab. Hey, they're smoking on a plane. Hey, they're listening to 8-tracks. Like, everything, like, one after another. Like,
one,
hey, they're
right
doing Quaaludes.
Other.
Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. They kept laying it on really thick. And I don't know. We'll talk a little bit more about that, I guess, momentarily. But
okay. I look forward to hearing that.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
No problem.
I think I cut her off a little early by accident because I was a little too...
We still don't really know how the talk sheet...
Yeah, we're still getting the hang of the talk sheet thing. All right, so Darren in the chat room, do you have anything that you would like to hear us discuss since you're not actually called in?
Should he win a gift card or not?
Well, technically we said people who called in.
If nobody else calls,
but if nobody
he
else
gets it,
calls,
but
gets
if somebody
it.
Else
yeah,
calls,
I think that's how
they
we'll
get
handle it.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and talk about Swingtown?
We'll go ahead and talk about Swingtown now.
So, Swingtown, I actually found out about it from Twitter. So, once again, Twitter saves the day. I had assumed it was a movie because somebody just said something like reading reviews of Swingtown or whatever. And I asked them about it. They said it's a TV show. It's on CBS. I looked it up. And it had just started, like, last week. And you could watch the pilot on the website. And then the second episode came on this Thursday. And so it's a show about swingers in the 70s. And, like, it's a little fascinating. Like, we knew we had to watch it because it was kind of like, okay, there's a show about swingers, and it's on network TV.
Absolutely.
And how are they going to represent this? How bad are they going to get it wrong? So we were really intrigued, so we had to watch it. And so we've seen the first two episodes now, and I think it's...
I have pretty mixed feelings on it.
Basically, it's not bad enough that we are not going to watch the third episode.
But it's got some issues, too.
It's, first of all, like we said a minute ago, they are really, really laying on the 70s theme super thick, like, ridiculously
Everybody's
thick.
Clothes are ridiculous, for one thing.
And, like, every other thing is like, hey, zoom in on him putting in the 8-track, or, hey, he gave her Aerosmith's whatever...
Rocks, as the album
that came out.
Or look at the Kiss the Cook apron, you know?
Right, like, every little thing. And
I'm waiting
for the
pet rock.
I
think we should set an over-under on number of episodes before a pet rock appears in it.
I'm surprised there hasn't been one already, and a mood ring, for that matter.
Yeah.
But it's just every little thing. And it's just like, I get it that you need to establish that they're in a certain time period. But there's a point where it just becomes ridiculous. Because, you know, actually in that time period, I really don't think people went around doing like every kitschy, cliched thing of that decade. One thing right after another.
No.
Like, you...
I don't blog and then Twitter and then podcast and then...
Yes, you do.
Well, actually, I do. But most people don't.
But we don't know right now what the, like, kitschy...
What people are going to look back and go, wow, that was stupid.
And I don't know. So that was a little irritating.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, let's actually talk about some of the characters. And let's give basic premise, because I don't remember the names of all the characters off the top of my head.
Okay, I think I remember most of them. There's... Susan and Bruce.
Yeah.
And they're kind of... They're like the main...
straight-laced couple, right?
The main couple. Yeah. The main characters. And they have two kids. Lori and some kid. I don't remember his name.
Doesn't matter.
And they... Like, apparently he got some job as a stock trader.
He's a stock trader. He just started.
And, like,
he's been on the job about a week.
Struck it rich somehow or something. So they moved from their old house, which is, like... in a middle class area into like a, I don't know, a fancier area.
The upper
of town.
Class neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, and which is like apparently only a few blocks away in Chicago. And their new neighbors are Trina and. I don't remember the husband's name.
He's a pilot. I can't remember his name. Then. We'll just call him Pilot because I can't remember.
He's a
his
pilot
name.
With a mustache.
Yes.
And then what's the other couple's name? Janet. And Roger, I think.
Maybe.
Janet and Roger are their old neighbors that they used to live across the street from. And so those are the three couples that are like the main characters.
Yeah.
And Trina and the pilot are swingers. And they invite Susan and Bruce over to a party at their house like the first night that they move into the neighborhood. And that's where, you know, they're doing Quaaludes and like...
Yes, of course. It's like, yeah, the Quaaludes was just another one of those things.
And they walk in and it's like, it's a culture shock thing. Like, everybody's dancing and partying and they have a playroom in the basement and all this stuff. And Trina starts talking about how, so-and-so, I keep telling her she should just open up her marriage just like everybody else has. Because apparently everybody else... has just opened up their marriage.
Yeah.
And so then they get in this conversation about, oh, you have an open marriage. I wouldn't be able to handle it if he cheated on me. And she's like, it's not cheating. Everything's on the table, which is fine. Like, that part was fine, but it's like, it seemed a little quick. And I guess I can understand that with a show because they're trying to establish the basic premise and go from there. But I'm one of those people that gets hung up on realistic, you know, how realistic something is. What are the things that you were going to say about
the things I was going to say? It was mostly about the characterization. First of all, we didn't live through that time. We are only acquainted with, we're not swingers ourselves, but we do go to swinger clubs to watch, be watched, all that. Some of our best friends are swingers. We know a few, we've been around, and we sort of know how the folks behave, just like we know how other people behave. And I thought the portrayal of how pushy that Trina was about trying to get people in to sort of recruit, so to speak, was a little unrealistic.
And, that was unrealistic.
A little disturbing, actually, because I don't know, I think a lot of the folks who are watching this show, this may be their first exposure to anything like that.
Yeah.
And if that's their impression of it, it seems a little more insidious.
And I don't think, I mean, she was pushy, and I think that was a problem. But I think even more so than that was the fact that Susan and Bruce basically went with it that night.
And they had no discussion
of it
beforehand.
They had no conversation about it. They didn't establish any boundaries, or like if they talked about it, we don't see that happening, but we're not led to believe that it did. They're all just, the four of them are basically just sitting in this room, and like the pilot starts giving Susan a massage and crap, and it's like,
yeah.
And then they're like, why don't we go someplace more private? And then the next scene is they're waking up the next morning, and you just assume that, you know, they did it because
yeah.
they can't
also,
show that on TV.
You know, I may be wrong about this, but I seem to recall that he was smoking pot beforehand, and she was popping Quaaludes beforehand, so they were both kind of messed up.
Right.
And so they make this decision under the influence of drugs and without any prior discussion
right.
whatsoever of whether they would be into this or not. So that's a big problem.
That's a big problem because, I mean, there's assholes and weirdos no matter what kind of scene it is, but, I mean, most...
This is like first impression. This is a lot of people's first
yeah,
impression of
and,
this.
And most people who really are, like, seriously into being swingers and everything, like... The whole thing is predicated on communication with your partner, establishing the boundaries that you will and will not cross, making decisions under informed consent, you know, not being trashed when you're making these
not
decisions.
Not Quaalude consent.
And yeah. and just, I don't know, that whole thing was, it's pretty obnoxious.
Yeah. I mean, when Liz and Lisa went with us over to, the hell's that place called, Trapeze, that's one thing they commented on, is that people actually seem more respectful of boundaries in the swingers club.
Than at, like, a regular nightclub.
And this was on one of the nights with the Swinging Atlanta parties, which, honestly, is, like, one of those nights when I think people are a little less respectful than usual.
Yeah.
And even then, they were more respectful than in a normal nightclub.
Which is interesting, because I don't even know if I've ever been to a normal nightclub, because the thought of it sounds horrible to me, precisely because of that. Because of people, like, coming up and touching you and crap. And everybody that I know who's, like, seriously into, like, swinging or non-monogamy or poly or group sex or anything and isn't a jerk or whatever, I mean, they are constantly saying, you know, whatever's comfortable for you. You don't have to do anything. There's no pressure. Find out what, you know, what boundaries are safe for you. Like, all that. Like, it's constantly, like, laying on the, you know, there's no pressure thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's, every time I talk to anybody, that's one of the first things they say is there's no pressure. You do or don't do whatever you want to do. You can just watch if you want. That's fine.
And they say it's not for everybody. And Trina was saying, oh, everybody opens up their marriage. And
yeah. And, you know, and the flip side is, to be fair, we did not live through that era. Maybe it was different back then. I don't know. I can only compare it against my experience now, so I can't... I think this is one of the reasons why I don't want to be too hard on the show right away, because maybe it was like that back then.
Maybe it was. I mean, if you were a swinger in the 70s, give us a call.
Absolutely.
Let us know. You don't even have to use your real name.
Leave your voicemail at 678-389-9441. We would love to hear from people who lived through swinging in the 70s.
But I just think, I also wonder, you know, if they're doing a show about swinging, doing it on network TV, which is fascinating enough, do they have to set it in the 70s in order to give, like, this distance? Like, would it make people too
uncomfortable? That's something, actually, that one of the guests here in the chat room mentioned. He said, sounds like they're using the 70s to kind of separate it from reality. That was Darren.
I was wondering about that, because it's like, would it be too threatening or upsetting to people if it was set in the present day, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that would make, that could theoretically make it a little closer to home.
I mean, I think it could, because you can be like, oh, it was the 70s, it was free love, and everybody was smoking pot or whatever. It was a crazy time, and, you know, you can kind of use that as an excuse. And then everybody learned better, and now, you know, or whatever.
Yes, and then the lesson is learned.
And nobody does that now, or whatever.
Yeah. So, all right, well, what else we got?
I want to read this thing.
Yeah.
I have this thing. I meant to read this and talk about it on the last talkie. I ripped this out of a magazine called Excitement, spelled with only an X, not E-X.
I think we got this at the Swingers Club, right?
No, I got it at Looks of Atlanta, but I think they have it at the Swingers Club. But it's like a adult magazine. Like, it's really crappy. I mean, it's full of... half of it is ads, and then there's, like, reviews of strip clubs and, like, strip club calendars and stuff, and the writing is really bad. But yeah, they have these ads, and I tore out a page from the classifieds, the Help Wanted section, and there's this ad that I'm going to read to you right now. Wanted: somebody to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. You'll get paid after we get back. You must bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I have done this more than once now. Ruger14.man@gmail.com. Okay, that kind of thing, like, I guess if you call up and you pay your money and you say, this is the ad that I want to place, they'll run it. But, like, this kind of shit is exactly why, I don't know, I guess I got disillusioned and threw away the idea of even trying to work in the sex industry at all when I was, like, 20 or 21. Because I was like, I don't want to, what is this bullshit? Like, yeah, there's so much crap and stuff, like, associated around it. Like, why can't everywhere be like Babeland or whatever? Like, somebody's placing an ad for time travel. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It just, do you know what I mean? Like, I know what I mean.
Well,
but
what's going to happen if you call this person?
Email this person.
Or is it an email? Okay, what's going to happen if you email this person?
I mean, I kind of want to email them and find out.
Yeah, how old is the ad? Maybe we could do it as a science experiment.
I mean, it's not that old. I got it, like, maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
This doesn't have a date on it. All it has on the bottom is, I've saved my tight virgin's pussy for you.
Okay. Well, that's more useful than page numbers.
do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it can be difficult to differentiate out, or not even difficult to differentiate, because any idiot can differentiate that that's bullshit. But it just seems like when there's so much bullshit around, like, how do you cut through all the bullshit and find, like, you know, the two or three things that are legit? And I mean, I don't think I'm making sense, but I feel it makes sense in my head. I mean, I'm sure that people know what I'm talking about. I mean, the internet has made it a little better, but the internet is still, in general, kind of a cesspool for this stuff. But
it's kind of a cesspool in general.
But the social media aspect, the social networking stuff, has made it a lot better.
Yeah.
But look, I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. If you know what I'm talking about and can articulate it better than I am, just call or comment or something.
What else have we got?
I don't know. I think that's all we've got. It's 6:30 anyway.
Yeah, that was half an hour. That was the time we were going to set aside. Well, thanks to everyone who's in the chat room. We had 4 or 5 people show up, and that's pretty good turnout.
Did we really?
Yeah, we did. Bobby Blackwell showed up. Darren showed up. Someone who did not identify themselves.
Who are you, guest 3?
Showed up. The mysterious guest 3. And Jen called in, so that was nice. And we look forward to doing that more in the future. If you want to leave us a voicemail, we'll play it in the podcast. You can leave it at 678-389-9441. And thanks again to everyone who showed up.
Bye.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.